I'm very fully informed that Honorable Oli was reduced from hospital. Almost all of them, by the way, were released from hospital. He was the first one. And Honorable Majede and the Chairperson of Basic Education, Honorable Gina. I've happened to speak to her. All that happened was they were in the line of duty and of service to the nation, which I think is one most important thing. I look at the numbers that we are, before going on any other matter, I understand accidentally that we meet at a time when it's the week of the oversight. Then it means we're on our own. There is a lot on the plate which we need to take into consideration. But I think it's important just to start, and then I will deal with the issue at the appropriate time. Any apology?
Honorable members and guests, I call apologies from Honorable Matana, Honorable Mafolo, Honorable Nyambi, Honorable Mukwena, and Honorable Shasta.
Aren't we supposed to know what are the apologies for?
Honorable Matala and Mafolo are sick. Honorable Mukwena is also ready for her death. Honorable Jaffa has got another engagement, and Honorable Nyambi is acting in public hearings on environment.
Okay. On that note, Honorable Members, in terms of the, someone would say, the new, looking at the numbers that we have, in other fields or areas, apologies are counted as attendance. Unfortunately, in the rules of Parliament, that doesn't apply. And the rules allow that at least one third of the committee members must be present, then you can proceed with the meeting. But when it comes to decision, you need 50% plus one in order to take decision. That means in order to take decision, even on the agenda, you need 50% plus one. And I can't even ask that because I don't have a quorum. I can't even ask whether there is an issue on the apologies or not. That is the dilemma that we are going to be faced with. I might have said it as a joke that we must meet in person so that you can have a quorum. But the reality is that we don't have a quorum. One other issue, and I think now, in my unrequested advice, when you're catching up with us, is that we're a committee of 10, not a committee of 11. there is one member from the opposition that is not part. Honorable Stephen, and I was thinking about this, is an alternate. Now, my question that I had in mind, advocate, was that when do you become an alternate? Aren't you an alternate when there's someone in your position? I'm just raising this thing because, but the fact remains again that of that 10 over 50% of the quorum, we still don't have one. Because we are 10. We are supposed to be 11. I can't falter the ANC, because they are 6. I can't falter the DA, because they are 2.
100% attendance.
Yeah. We are still talking about the representation. We will come to the issue. So that's the point. No, at least I'm here with an apology. It's not that there are people who decided to. Yeah, their apology. What do we do? Obviously, it then piles up what we are supposed to be doing. Honorable Schmidt, in a meeting that is not correct.
Yes.
You see, I'm not sure what it is you're asking, but can I say the following? Alternate member is normally someone elected or appointed to act in someone's position when he's not there. So it's not just someone who walks through the door. So it's different to the appointed member. So somewhere on the list of the portfolio committee there should be alternate members as well. But on the issue of what we do with people who do not attend, I think we should just follow the rules. Long and short of it, without exemption, without exception.
Okay.
Possibly we should continue with the agenda. Obviously we won't be able to take any decisions. We may be able to get through some of this work. I don't know how other people feel. But that's certainly what I would like to do. We have set this time aside, let's use it.
You know, my difficulty is that I can't rule whether you will continue or not continue, because the fact of the matter is that the meeting that is not correct.
A meeting needs to be correct if you need to take a decision. We can continue to meet, but we can't take a decision.
The first decision is to adopt the agenda.
You can't.
That's why I'm saying that's I'm not opposed. Get me. I'm not opposed for continuing on. I'm just saying let's replace the devil's advocate. The reason I was putting it up front. If another member stands up and says you can't continue with a meeting that is not correct because it enjoys no status. I'm just making that thing. From the point of not having a correcting meeting, it would be difficult to say, no, we'll continue with the meeting. Regardless. I'm just making that example. Your hand was up for the beginning?
No, we would like to continue with the meeting, but we can't really, the whole position, we want to do our work on the time. But really, it is that we're not corrupt. We could just meet for the sake of meeting. And therefore, I think let's make ourselves to go and take through and read the documents what you referred earlier enough, and then come back fresh next week and continue with the meeting.
Can I make a proposal? No, I want the end to talk when I move. Can I make a proposal? Can we agree now from a church point of view? Let's give members a briefing. First, there is an issue that has got a decision. It's the operational plan. There's a decision in the operational plan. It was adopted. And subsequently, we asked the content advisor. We asked the content advisor to go and do the costing on the operational plan. And welcome, honorable. So I'm sure. So I was saying, in terms of the operational plan, done. All what you needed to do, all what you needed to do was to prepare the content in terms of the costing of the plan, operational plan, and to identify those key areas we said they can be considered in terms of priority of the committee for each one. I assume now we that issue falls off. For the honourable members who just came in, hopefully are reinforcing it. So that argument of mine falls off. Welcome, honourable member, to the committee. We're just deliberating on what we have, and I think it's important to have a benefit of what we had. We've got about 3 apologies of honourable members of Africa, and one who has got an engagement, and one who is on a public hearing, who is also serving in another committee. Regrettably, we're a committee of 10, whilst all committees of parliament are 11 members. There's one member who is not, who has never been registered in this committee from the other party in the opposition side. So that makes it now a 50-50 in the numbers we were, because you only had 5 present and 5 absent. So that is maybe if that member, that fifth member on the from the opposition party would have made us 6 instead of 5 if we were attending. So we're dealing with the issue, so we have not adopted the agenda. We're still battling that in order to take the, to adopt the agenda, it is a decision on its own. But I think if that with that being the case, I withdraw my proposal. I want us to go back to the normal before the pattern change. Honourable Madam.
Thank you, Chair. I wanted to initially move for the adoption of the agenda as outlined. Since we therefore now have the numbers to proceed, I'd like to move for the motion that we adopt the agenda and proceed with the meeting as outlined. Thank you, Chair.
Can I make one request for the meeting? That we do the normal so that something is not outside the agenda. We request, I didn't know what to do, so Kalopavachi. Can we suggest we take out item bullet point 1 which is the consideration and adoption of the third term program. We request to go and work it out after this discussion. And then two, we lift the, if we take out bullet point one, we then lift bullet point three, which is bullet point four now, to be bullet point, no, to be bullet point three, which is bullet point two. So we just swap the minutes with the correspondence. Then the minutes will be the last item. So number one will be the briefing on the is an operational plan. Number two will be the correspondences, and then number three will be the minutes. Another question, Darren?
Mr. Chair, it might be useful that we are postponing the discussion of the third-term program. And the reason for that is I think that it is deficient in a couple of respects. So I'd like the opportunity just to talk about that very briefly, which may inform how we discuss it next time. May I do so?
Okay.
And this, Mr. Chair, may well be in your item two now, the correspondence from Mr. Froyer, which was on the 20th of June, entitled Allegations of State Capture and Organs of State, in which Mr. Froelich, and I'll read it, it's only two paragraphs. He says, I'll show you.
Wait. For me, I thought you wanted to help me on how to approach if we postpone it.
Okay.
I wouldn't want because we have not arrived on that item.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is this should be on our program, and it's not. That's my point. Is the discussion on state capture, which is labelled urgent by the House Chairperson of Committees and Oversight, is not on our program for the whole term.
I know, Bushman. That's why I said, when we are done with our own discussion, it will then shape how do we prepare our program for the third term. That issue that you are raising is on the agenda.
So that is the correspondence that you're talking about on the agenda?
There is a correspondence. If I bring you a different correspondence from the House Chair, you've got a right to say, no, I've got this correspondence that is from the House Chair.
Okay.
Let's deal with the correspondence when you are at the correspondence.
Okay, fine. If it's the same correspondence, I'm happy, I'll wait.
Okay. So, number one will be the operational plan. Number two will be the correspondence, which is one from the House Chair. Two is from the Chamber of Mines. I don't think the one from the Chamber of Mines, but I don't want to think on behalf of members, will be that difficult or tough one, but it could be. Then we've got the last one will be the minutes. Any mover? Honorable Mendel.
Thank you, Chair. I move for the adoption of the agenda as per the amendments that have been effected. Thank you.
Any second? Well, in the absence of a second, it means we don't have an agenda. Any second, Honorable Tigini?
Then, Chair, I wish to second the agenda.
Okay. Tatukoyam? Can you take us through?
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and good morning, Honorable Members. This is just a brief update of the operational plan that was presented to the committee on the 9th of May this year. From that initial briefing, the committee requested a more comprehensive scope of topics that should be considered by the committee for a colloquia. Secondly, the committee also requested the financial implications of the proposed colloquia. An updated operational plan was made. If you look on the actual draft operational plan on page 13 to 14, there is a list of 21 topics that the committee can consider for proposed colloquium. And I must hasten to add that the list is not exhaustive. Members can alter and change the list as they see fit, because the deliberations are for members. I have put a guideline of saying members can choose between 4 to 6, but that is not a hard and fast rule. I was just looking at the time constraints, because members, if they so wish, they can even have 2 or 3 colloquiums, but dealing with a single topic. So it's entirely up to members. And the second request was for a hosting of the colloquium. And this is contained in this separate sheet. So what we have there, the main cost component of the colloquium are transport costs for invited stakeholders, accommodation, as well as catering. But for transport costs, we have 12,000. That amount relates to a single person. And accommodation, we've got 3,000. That amount relates also to a single person. What I'll just like to clarify is that accommodation costs only arise if a member, if a stakeholder is going to be taking connecting flights, since the stakeholder will have to sleep, to fly and sleep in Cape Town on Tuesday so that he can participate on Wednesday. But if a member is flying straight, let's say from Japan, from Johannesburg, the issue of accommodation costs are not available. And the other factor that I would like the members to consider with regard to the financial implication is that most of the stakeholders, they pay for their own transport and accommodation. But depending on the profile of the stakeholders that have been invited, for example, if the committee can, let's say, decide to invite a representative of people of Ekolobeni, then the committee can be expected to carry those costs. But if it's an NGO, a Chamber of Mines, unions, mostly those stakeholders, they usually pay for their costs. So the only cost that is relevant to the committee is catering cost, which is about 9,250 for 50 people. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay.
Would we have some discretion in those travel costs? I can imagine some colloquia we may need more community representatives, for example. I don't know whether that would be enough to cover them. So in other words, some we may not use that full travel budget, but others we may need more. Would that be possible?
That is subject on the availability of resources, because the very same colloquium you will have to apply for and see whether you get funding or not. But also you will have to see what do you want to achieve, and so that your participant becomes relevant on the occasion that they So you are making just an example. It could be one, it could be more. It depends on the nature of the occasion. but also it is subject on the availability and approval of the budget. Honourable Madam.
Thank you, Chair. Perhaps if we are to consider the issue of communities and from what Mr. Koyama has presented and the example he's made of Kolobeni community. It's a mining community that has been trying to work with an Australian entity there. I think different communities that you are looking to invite exist in mining communities with mining companies that are in place. Rather remove the onus on us in terms of Parliament having to carry the cost, place it on the community. The community can then look for a sponsor, being the mining house or even being the various entities that are within the community. There's also the business forums in the communities that can assist in that regard. I'm just raising this, bearing in mind the issue of cost. If we are to be faced with the challenge, Honourable Chair, of not being able to carry the cost, we should still be able to extend an invitation and not prejudice the community because we don't have funds and think that then they are not able to come and not invite them. I do believe and want to suggest that we invite all communities, but they must explore their own expenses and how they get supported to come out to participate.
Can we do this? Let's leave the examples. We'll deal with the matter as and when it arises. Because we don't know what will be the colloquium on. If the colloquium, for an example, is an environmental issue, that is an example. It will be impossible to ignore the community on that, the centrality of the community. But because we are dealing with different issues in the industry, it could be a completely different kettle of fish. It could also be, even if you say the same thing, which is similar, I don't think there is a divergence of views, it could also be similar because people will indicate. So when you make an invitation, there are many considerations that you make. You look at the size, the area, and so forth and so forth. Those that are central, which you might be required to cater for if they can. They will express a view that they cannot be able to afford, but they want to. You only deal with that issue then when it arises. So all what Mr. Koyama was trying to do was to say these are the issues in the, because it's us who said go and cost this. So he put an extra effort to say what could be the other cost that will emerge, but it's not limited to, there could be others that are more, but it's just giving us a rough. But to me, the key issue are the two suggestions made. The first one, which is the second one, is the almost, it's a two-pronged issue. The first one is the fact that there is a suggestion of a consideration of a colloquium, or colloquiums. Even say they can be two, they can be three. That's a concrete suggestion. The second one, it says you can choose on topics about four or so, but it also makes suggestions on what you can consider to be the central focus of the committee on its plan going forward. That to me is something that I can then say, at least it gives us sense. Your amount is subject to, because the colloquium could be next year, so your rent value may not be the same by next year. So let's leave the actual amount, but at least it gives us a figure. Can we dispose of this matter and then go to the next item? Okay. Honorable members, I don't know why it is true that when I'm about to take this item. Honorable members, a letter was written to the chairperson of Mineral Resources, and let me read it. That was on the 20th June 2017. It reads, Dear Mr. Luzniko, allegations of state capture in organs of state. I am sure that you are aware of numerous allegations of state capture that have appeared in the media in recent weeks. Some of these allegations involve the Minister of Mineral Resources. I would like to request that your committee investigate the allegations within the parameters of the rules and report any findings where applicable to the National Assembly as a matter of urgency. Yours sincerely, City Frolic MP, House Chairperson, Committees, Oversight and ICT. CC to the Speaker, to the National Assembly, and the Acting Secretary to Parliament. I want to do it to finish. Subsequent to that, I responded. That was on the 22nd. The letter, dear Honorable Frolic, letter to the committee, your letter dated 20th June 2017 as reference. I hereby acknowledge receipt of your correspondence with regards to conducting an investigation of state capture matters against the Minister of Mineral Resources. It is with regret, though, that the correspondence came at a time when we will be conducting committee oversight work in the Northwest Province, then subsequently go into constituency period. This therefore means we can only attend to this matter in our first meeting post the constituency period, except if special arrangements could be made by Parliament. Without prejudicing the process, I would highly appreciate it if you could assist with terms of reference to ease of reference and guidance to the committee in execution of such tasks. I will await your guidance and advice on how to handle the process in the meantime in light of the situation outlined above, hoping the above will receive your favorable consideration and response. Yours sincerely, Honorable S. Luzniko, Chairperson, PC on Mineral Resources. So that is the letter, and unfortunately, with what I explained, this is our first meeting that we'll have to then consider. Honorable Lorem?
So you're saying that you haven't yet received any response to those terms of reference from Honorable Lorem?
Not that I want, that I'm seeing.
May I suggest that we discuss it anyway? I think that as a committee, we should really be the ones discussing the terms of reference. I mean, there's a lot of material out in the public in terms of the so-called Gupta emails that should give us cause for serious concern. I don't know whether the committee has access to those emails at all.
Honorable Mandan,
thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you for bringing us to the attention of the letter that has been submitted by the House Chair, Honorable Frolic. I would appreciate, Chair, if we can follow the line of thought in terms of your response to Honorable Frolic in terms of providing us with terms of reference. It would be very disappointing for us to embark on such work because of media speculations and also emails that have not been provided to us as a committee. So I would like to really gain clarity as to what the House Chair requires this committee to do. If you look at the language in terms of the letter addressed to yourself, Honorable Chair, in your capacity as the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, it talks to numerous allegations of state capture that have appeared in the media. Now, I sit in Mvezo, Komkhulu, which is a rural village, have no access to any of such media. There's no newspaper that is delivered to Mvezo, and the only newspaper that is probably circulating around Mthatha is the Daily Dispatch, as an Eastern Cape paper which doesn't reach out a village like Mvezo. So I somewhat wonder as to what emails have been put out and what is there in these emails that talk directly to this portfolio committee. I don't want to have an entire committee of parliament chasing allegations that are based on rumors. Can he be able to substantiate exactly what he wants us to do as this committee? Honorable Chair, thank you.
Honorable Mula.
I, in a way, trying to align myself with what Nkosi Mandela said. I'm not sure, Honorable Chair, if we do have resources like the police do in doing an investigation. How else is to hear what Epsal called the gentleman state and the answer that he feels. We don't have the resources that the commission, for example, has. There is also a commission to inquire into the state culture, which the president said is going to appoint. And I'm not sure what the parliament is doing. We've got the Hobbs investigation. You've got the judicial inquiry made by the president. Now you've got parliament doing it. I don't understand why that is why. To me, it smells more of just political politicking in it. I don't know. I'm not accusing the chairman, but I just don't understand when, I mean, the parliament can only make an inquiry generally after that and rely on what the answer is. If the person comes and says, I don't know anything about it, that's it. That's the end. There's very little that we can do. And we cannot find out whether he is telling the truth or not. That's the first. The second thing is, I'm not sure if this is what has been discussed with the speaker. I don't say the chairperson cannot do that. I don't know their authority and their powers, but I'm trying to find out. Thirdly, this thing of state capture has been used by various political organizations as a way of politicking. We're not politicking in the house. But I think in the committees we need to be very careful. Because, yes, we're dealing with the hardcore business why we're here. And we need, and our people are waiting for us to do the right thing in a committee. And now, which should not be influenced as much as possible by politics. We need to, as I said in one committee, represent the country, and we should be united as much as possible in dealing with these things, because we're not really scoring political points of job in a committee. We are building the nation. Now this is why I think personally, you, Jefferson, I would suggest that you go and meet the chairperson and say the committee would like to find out these three things. One, whether the is he expecting us to behave like a judicial inquiry in this case? Because that costs money. That means that you must call a lot of witnesses, including an expert witness, which is on email. For example, I can take a photograph of you here, and then I twist it such that you are with a certain lady sitting in a compromising situation, and you get a divorce. This is how technology is today. Now you need someone who is an expert, who say, remember, this is bullshit. That's evidence. Now, that's one that I'm requesting. Does he expect us to behave like that? Two, are we not doing duplication here with what the other people are doing in the same thing? Thirdly, with due respect, is this matter, if you could have a hearing, or you also write a letter to that, find out whether these questions, and CC the speaker. So that we get a direction. We cannot say, surely if we come up now as a committee, we want to ask these questions. These are the terms of reference. The president is giving terms of reference to the judicial inquiry. We are also doing that. So those are the three things I'm requesting. If the committee will accept my submission and my request here, that we find that guide. As I said, honourable members, we are not must try in a committee, not to politicize. We are here building a nation, and we are united. We are not politicking in a committee. And that one is highly sensitive political issue. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Nonsansan Lubindana. Chairperson, I think I want to concur with my two colleagues, Honorable Nkosi Mandela and Honorable Mbomulwana. First of all, Chair, in terms of processes of Parliament, issues that are referred to committees most of the time are coming from the Speaker. And I'm sure I want to concur with what Honorable Mbomulwana has said in terms of this correspondence. But also, Chair, the President has appointed a judicial commission to deal with this matter. And why do we want to do a duplication when there's a judicial commission that has been appointed by the President to deal with this matter? They haven't even started or concluded the report. Why are we taking matters that are dealt with by the Judiciary Commission And we are, our core responsibility as members of parliament is to do oversight of the over the executive. But I think we should wait until that process unfolds, and thereafter we can be able to deal with the report in terms of us processing that report from the Judiciary Commission. But for us now, as members of parliament, to deal with this process now and say, well, there are emails and whatever. No, we can't deal with what media is saying to us. In fact, even yesterday, you know, Chair, we are having one stakeholder who was representing in that ad hoc committee of party funding perceptions with no evidence. We don't have data. We can't say what the media presents in terms of the leaked emails. It's accurate. So there's no way that we can deal with this matter now. I'm supporting my colleague Chairperson that let's refer the matter back to the speaker and raise the issues that we're raising. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'd like to deal with these and worries in reverse order. First of all, I'd like to welcome our two guests. I think their first appearance in the Mining Portfolio Committee. I've been here 5 years and I haven't seen them, and I'd like to compliment them on their excellent preparation for the topic at hand. It's Honourable Gwane, is it, sir?
My way, I think they deserve to be protected, because my issue when I deal with issues of this nature is that you can easily deviate completely, because they may want to respond to what you say. And we end up not dealing with the issue. Now debating what you, I don't even want them to, I'm doing it so that I don't want them to come back and want to respond on what you've just said. But can we continue? You are allowed to continue.
Thank you, sir. I'd like to go with the three points that were made there. The first issue as to the uncertainty on the part of what we're being asked to do in terms of behaving like a judicial inquiry, I think is the phrase that was used, and that it would cost a lot of money. Well, that is what Parliament's budget is for. And I believe that if we take seriously the issues in mineral resources, we should be prepared to submit plans and ask for appropriate budget for a proper inquiry. Secondly, the question of whether or not we're duplicating other inquiries. Parliament is the people's primary oversight mechanism into government spending, and I think we would be shirking our duty if we did not investigate something which has very strong bearing on mineral resources. Thirdly, as to writing to the Speaker, to ask the Speaker to tell us what to do, there's a couple of troublesome issues here. One is that we've already been asked what to do by Mr. Froelich, the House Chairperson. Do we now need to ask the Speaker whether or not she agrees with Mr. Froelich? Surely that is overstepping the mark and undercutting Mr. Froelich. There is an issue about whether or not this is politicising things. I, in deference to you, Mr. Chairman, I won't respond to that unless it's raised again. In reference to what Honourable Mandela said, I can fortunately help him. He says he hasn't seen the email, so I've taken the liberty of printing them out, and I'll now distribute them to the committee so that everybody can read them and have a look how serious I think these are.
My problem, the last time I talked,
who made them?
I made them.
Thank you.
I anticipated that
you made them. You made them.
That's what Honourable
Mandela
said.
Thank you. Who made the name? Did you manufacture them, sir?
It is true.
Did you manufacture them?
My problem is that the mic of Honourable Norima is still on.
Sorry.
How,
If I can then just answer that allegation.
No, wait, wait.
Just to explain the provenance of these emails.
Wait, Honorable Narena. Like you said, you've been in this committee since 2010. I don't want to respond to this. The same thing that for me I would have expected is that chair, because Honorable Mandela says he has not seen the email, can I give him the copy to have the copy? But to say when I'm chairing a meeting, decide without even him the catches, to then say you are distributing documents. So that when I respond on what you are doing, then I sound like I'm being defensive, but I feel, I'll tell you now, I feel you completely undermined me as a chair.
Yeah.
Because when I allowed you to speak. Then if you've got a document, you then say, because tomorrow another member is going to take up a document here, and that document may be highly politically sensitive.
Yeah.
I must protect you. I'm not talking about the emails. Leave the email. So I would expect a member of the committee, if there's anything that wish this person to have, will then say, Chair, I've got an information. Can I share this information with you? Would you be prepared to distribute this information for the benefit of members? If the chairperson is not willing to do so, can you allow me to do that distribution? Otherwise, I foresee a situation where in future any member of this committee would just say, here is an information, and that's it, without the authority or at least the cases of the chairperson say, Honorable Norema, these members, other members, did not say, for example, they have not seen the email. We are still discussing. They have not seen the email. It's only Honorable Mandela who has no said he has not seen the email. There is no paper, even a tumbe. Maybe Honorable Pigini has it. She was going to say, I've seen that. Maybe from the chair I would have said, then if Honorable Mandela, you say you can't take a decision because of the email, it's my duty as the chairperson, I will go and look for the emails and I will provide you with them so that you can come informed in the meeting. But I'm just saying, whatever we do, let's try our level best to maintain something that makes our own engagement be productive, be exemplary, so that any other person, like you said, could wish to participate in the activities of this committee. It would have been more sound better to me if I had refused you to distribute the document than to say I will distribute them in any way. But when you are still, your mic is on, you are already distributing documents, but you were given permission to speak, which is what the chairperson does. Then it actually means there is no reason for you to want to speak through the chairperson, because you can do as you wish in the meeting. I'm just appealing. I know these things are sensitive. Can we, at all costs, try to maintain our cool, our level, and let's try to find what best can work for all of us so that we can be able, we've got a responsibility. Like you said, we're leading a country here. Whatever we do, we should not see ourselves above our responsibilities that we have. I'm just appealing to any member, please, it's not allowed to distribute documents when you have not requested to do so.
Mr. Chairman, where does that stand in the rules of Parliament? I must say that I'm finding this argument completely spurious, this procedural argument. Honourable Mandela raised a very valid point that we needed to see what we were all talking about. I provided the documentation. Now I get a procedural argument which I have never heard before, that the chairman
I've never seen the email. I'm just asking you.
As a courtesy, I've given them to all
members. No, but did I say I've never seen the email?
What has that got to do with it?
No, I'm asking you. You just said Honorable Mandela. Now, I'm saying, when a member does not have an information, except if you want to sit in the committee, lead yourself in your own way that you want in the meeting, then if that is the case, because you know for a fact, the reason that you speak, It's not that you are not allowed to speak. Any activity that is happening, except if again you want to speak, because what you did, you asked to speak, but you knew that your intention, then that's what it says to me. Your intention was not for the chair to allow you to give you, like in any other member will allow you. And I'm not saying to you only. But if you feel you are all right, it's okay. I don't have a problem. It's not about me. But I'm saying, for me, if I was a member whom the chairperson had given me platform, now it's my time to speak, I would have at least a courtesy to say, Chair, because this honorable member said he has not received this thing, can I give him, because I do have it with me, I can even supply other members. If you feel you are entitled to do as you wish, it's okay with me. But understand the other way around. If that's how we run our meeting, I'm also entitled to say and do as I wish from the chair. And I don't think that is catered to me. Self-respect as members of the committee is what must guide us, with or without the rules. We can't be like people who must be straitjacketed by rules, simply because as members of the committee, we must be able to demonstrate that we respect each other, whether there are rules or no rules. But if you feel that's the nature of respect that you have for the chairperson, it's okay with me. Honorable Mende, and then Honorable Piginini, Honorable Nube, and then Honorable Schmidt, and then Honorable Bumla.
Thank you, Chair. I would like, first and foremost, Chair, to request these white envelopes that have been distributed circulated to be returned back to the owner in the first and foremost. But again, we have researchers here who as a committee hold to high esteem. You know, listening while we seated here, Dr. Nicole made utterances that there are over 100,000 emails. Now I'm asking myself, do 100,000 emails fit in an A4 size envelope? Can we not be ridiculed at this committee? If there's a need to look at emails, we do have researchers. They will provide us with the necessary information that we need to. I think I'd like to draw us back to the initial issue, Chair. There's letters before us here, and we are going astray from what is on the agenda. Agenda is two letters that came from Honorable Frolic. The second is your response to Honorable Frolic. And therefore, we're talking about terms of reference, which he hasn't provided. And I'd like to confine our meeting to that, Honorable Chair, because there are other elements that will emanate out of here. Will be a total disrespect of one another, particularly the Chair, whom we all speak through and through our proceedings through. Therefore, I would like, Chair, before you even proceed to return these envelopes back to the author. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I think this matter has been attended to by committee. Mine, Chair, couldn't go to issues that we're dealing with, first and foremost. I think proposals are very clear. There was a matter which we were dealing with before, which was dealt with before by the fourth parliament. It was the issue of investigation which was dealing with by another mining company. Now I'm trying to say to this tribunality, government has created an institution to deal with matters of this first and foremost. They are hawks. There are other judiciary, SIU, and whatever. They must do their task. Now, in this committee, in any particular committee of government, is to deal with oversight. And that oversight who are dealing, who are oversighting the executive at all times in matters that affect the body and other issues. Now, we seem to sidetrack a little bit, Chair. And I think let's not really bombard the chairperson of the parliament by this particular matter. We know the procedure, we know the process. There's nothing we need to hide here. But we can't deal with issues that are not really supposed to come to us. We're right because we give us something with no terms of reference and whatever. Now, it was right to say we still need those issues if they want us to deal with that. But I think it's not our primary issue that we have to deal with. Our secondary issue here is to oversight. It's not to make sure that we embarrass people who think we could in the manner that we wish at all times. So I think we will really not skip one whatever. Even if you know, we are not new in government, all of us. We were serving in another legislature before. So we are dealing with this particular matter in the manner that is befitting injustice to be served. Now, we can't create really commit justice committees to deal with this particular matter. We have an ad hoc committee that deals with specific issues that have been referred to. Even this one, they can follow those particular processes. Now, we so that we're able to deal with the budget, which is budgeted to oversight. Now, the amount that we're talking about here, it's a lot, and we can't deal with that on our own. You know, the budget is meant for running our committees and all of that. We will never have that money to deal with this matter. It needs a budget on its own. So I wanted to leave with that matter, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I want to agree with the Honorable Bikinini and Honorable Wasmande. That Chair, I'm sure we need to support you, the correspondence that you have written to the Speaker, that's one, but also add on the other things that you have raised in terms of processes and information. And Chairperson, I think with any correspondence that must come to members, it must come through you. There's no way that you will allow anybody, Chairperson, to give us a correspondence that we don't even know who's the author, where is it coming from. And your Honorable Mandela is correct. We have researchers from Parliament who are able to do that job for us. And if we need any information, they are there to give us that information. So we can't promote a culture that will not sustain in the long run. So, Chair, I think let's stick to what we have proposed now and take this matter back. We are not going to use our portfolio committees to grandstand and to politic and take advantage that media is doing 1, 2, 3 and then use our portfolio committees to grandstand and to campaign. We're not campaigning here. We are running a country, must do oversight, we must see to it that budgets that we pass as members of parliament, departments are using them efficiently and correctly according to what is prescribed by EEE Lokujan into FMA. Thank you very much.
Honorable Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What we have in front of us is a letter by the chairperson, committee's oversight and ICT. So clearly, the House chairperson has the authority to write the letter, but whichever, whatever may, we are duty bound to indicate to the House chairperson in my view that we are going to investigate and that we intend interrogating any possible evidence that is applicable. Now that would, in my view, include things like media reports on the matter of mining industry. It should include the emails from whichever form, and the emails which have been distributed would give a good point of departure as to where to start looking for emails within the 100,000 plus mark. So these should all be form part of the evidence which are to be investigated by the committee.
Okay.
The chair, am I just talking? Am I allowed the opportunity to speak for the formal reason of speaking and then without having any consideration as to what I'm saying? Because if so, then I'm going to argue that the decision of this committee not to investigate, where we're clearly heading towards, if I understand you correctly, has been predetermined.
or I will give an opportunity to speak and it will be considered. Because if not, it's clear what the answer is. I see I've got someone shaking his head affirmative on my right hand side.
I thought you were talking.
Exactly how I am talking. And you are talking to Mr. Mandela, but I'm trying to raise points. So if you don't want me to speak, tell me, sir, and tell me the decision has been made in advance. Yes, Mr. Chair. What else am I to deduct from what you're doing?
Continue,
yes, Mr. Chair. So, and I'm going to repeat now. The emails that have been provided to you give us a good starting point. I'm not saying they are the only emails. I'm not saying they are the correct emails. It gives this committee a starting point to go and look where we need to start investigating. Except if you intend indicating to the House Chairperson who's responsible for oversight, which happens to be our primary task in Parliament. Our primary task is oversight. You will have a request by the Chairperson of Oversight that we do oversight. You are trying to throw up all kinds of skittles for some reason. I'm not quite sure. Alleging political deviousness on our side. When the request comes from your House Chairperson or our House Chairperson from your political party, are you going to disregard him? That terms of reference is something which is quite clear. What we need to do is investigate the allegations concerning state capture. What more do you want? Do you want a time limit saying from date A to date B, X to Y? What is it that you want? Because the allegations could be started off with a mere indication of what's in the media, what's in the emails, and in accordance to our rules, where we have powers to summon, we do have powers to summon, and they do not have the obligation, the choice of refusing to come to the committee. Because if so, we give the speaker who writes a letter to that individual, who then summons him in failure, which he could be fined and be guilty of an offence. But the point is, we do have powers to summon someone to the committee. So it's not an optional extra. And I think we should be conducting with earnestness into the affairs of these allegations, which are being investigated by numerous other committees. Or are you going to tell that in spite of some of the other investigation, we're not going to continue? Or are you going to say that we are subjecting our oversight primary responsibility to other forms of government to first continue this, finalize this? So I would suggest that we write back to the speaker saying that we are going to investigate, that we will look at all the allegations concerning state capture, and that we do so as a matter of urgency. You will see one of the issues are, and report any findings where applicable as a matter of urgency. And if that is not being done, we can just as well say that we are not completing or adhering to our primary responsibility for oversight from the mining industry. And it's quite clear what we need to do. We need to investigate the Minister of Mineral Resources. It says so much in the letter. Without saying, the mining companies were involved, or if there's any mining company, give our involvement, if any, and media articles to indicate you are responsible individuals in that regard. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Honourable Bukman, I like that at least you are sharing the mic.
Yes, we share.
Yeah. That's
right. Respectfully, I request that the gentleman next to me concede. The problem that this country will have is to look. I'm not saying they are genuine. Or not genuine. If I put something in the media that we know very well, since we had this, since the time from 1552, the media has been trying to inform people what they want it to be. And the government at the time, until now, has been listening to the media.
And the political party is with the media, that's a fact.
Now, the journalists write something on the media, and Parliament picks it up. Hey, they have said this about you. Investigate. Tomorrow, something we find this Parliament being governed by the media. The program of Parliament will be determined by the media. That's the first problem. Then I would say that given to Honorable Freud, or to anybody, that we need, you see, it is very, very important for us to divorce ourselves from small things or what, and I don't want to call it gossip, but what the media is saying is what they want to say. It doesn't mean that it's true. Now, we have, first of all, before we investigate the person, we first find out, is it true? He correctly says that this is a starting point. And I'm saying this is the problem of the starting point of a gossip. Because it remains an allegation until proven. And you need a lot of resources. Sometimes cases take up to 3 to 5 to 6 years in investigation. Now, so if Parliament has got that time, and Parliament has got those resources, we have been told by the same that we must try and limit, we must save money, because government doesn't have money. And now, there is money to follow what the media have been saying, without looking at whether they are genuine or not genuine. We must start there. And I'm saying that this is a witch hunt. The person has got a right to be represented for us by a lawyer. Now, you call the minister here, and you put in his lawyer standing here. When you ask questions, they must say, wait a minute, and cross-examine, and all those things. I mean, there's a lot you do in investigation. I'm sure the honorable person, I don't know whether he is a lawyer, or at least he knows he is a lawmaker, that you need to respect the individual rights of a person, including the minister. Because he's a minister, we are members of the committee. We are not going to just bully him and say, come here, what do you know about what is being said about you in the paper? Tomorrow somebody else is being told about this. Come here, let me tell you what's going on about the paper. And I think it's a mistake, a serious mistake, and I'm requesting you, Chairperson, that, and the committee, that we put this to the Chairperson. That much as we don't want to disobey, but we've got a problem. Can you explain? One, who do you want us to do the police work? Two, there is a complication in this thing that other caucus of state are doing, and state money is being paid to do those things, including the judicial inquiry. That, I'm requesting that you write that in your request. That committee wants to find more clarity on this matter. And because, as they explained, maybe didn't understand, that this is emails coming from the media, written by a journalist who investigated. And so we need to investigate whether the journalist was correct in investigation. So it's not just to say, and then when you want that evidence, then we can say, okay, then we can go to the minister. Because if I was the lawyer of the minister, coming here is going to be asked a question, I would say, wait a minute. Are these genuine? Can you prove that these are genuine?
before you do that. So these are the problems I'm saying. Please write to the, let the committee write to the chairperson and request clarity on these matters and so on. Thank you very much.
Sorry. Wait,
I recognize all of you. Honorable Schmidt, this is what I was told at home. Even when politics come over above my head, I don't have to believe I'm wrong. Someone feels what I did came wrongly. Accept my apology. But I can tell you what I was sharing with Honorable Mandela was something that was going to affect this community, not that I was not listening to you. So I just want to start this so that, well, sometimes we like to bring things like that. And I must say, I understand when a debate is like this, we all go so high. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think this was the first time I share with Honorable Mandela when he's next to me. Maybe I must share with you. It's simply because we know. You see, sometimes when we create things as if there's a sinister move or something, we have to take a decision here. What I was sharing with Honorable Mandela is something that would have an indication on us taking a decision here. So we have to make an intervention. So I just want to leave it at that level. It has nothing to do with the fact that I may not, but I fear that if in the future I will not do something that I think is in the best interest of this committee and what this committee is doing. Let me leave that. Let me come to something. You know, sometimes, and it's not my intention to divide members accordingly. You see, when you sometimes listen to the discussion, you get a sense that people think they differ when they someone, both or all of them, they agree on something. And I'm going to explain, because let's not say, I don't like this thing to second guess a person. I deal with the issues it comes. Being a chairperson of a committee, you receive a correspondence. You then just come to, you can't even anticipate what has to be done. You come to a committee, you put it raw as it is. Then the committee comes back. Surely, if the normal process of the committee was the expected one, the letter wouldn't be crafted in the manner that it's crafted. Now, to present as if asking for terms of reference tries to block the fast-tracking of the process, I think it's grossly unfair. Yeah. Because you are given a task to perform, and the task doesn't say... the reason I say anonymous circumstances maybe may not be the same, Mabumbumbana. Sorry, I'm allowed to have a chance. You can call the minister. And normally the minister comes when he's invited to meet. Is that what this letter seeks to say? Surely in my reading of the chairperson, it's not saying so. Because it's now using a very direct word, investigate. It's not saying call him to account. That's a different story. If you were to call him to account, just say, hey, come to the committee. Can you explain your name is appearing on many times on the email? Can you explain? And that becomes an issue. The point is that when he talks about an investigation, it actually suggests that it's deeper than that. So the request from a chair's point of view was that if I come to the committee, they would have given the committee that, because there is no refusal here to conduct, to follow the instruction of the House Chair. It says we will do what you say we must do. But can you help us with the terms of reference? Because we're not party to the decision to investigate. So we didn't know what was in the House Chair's mind, what is it that he wanted. Therefore, to ask for the terms of reference, it was precisely to make the work of the committee much easier. I may not disagree with the view that men would say, no, we can formulate our own terms of reference. That's a discussion for members of the committee, not me from a chair. But I don't want this thing to sound like, I thought I was, so for me, from the chair's point of view, I thought I was doing the right thing for the committee to say, here are the terms of reference, therefore that follow with the investigation. It would have been much more easier than the committee, because it now understands what is expected out of it. So it had nothing to do, because that's why I said, sometimes we must take some of these things out, because out of a goodwill, we may end up having the wrong thing. Now, I wanted to deal, because I don't want to go to some of these, because sometimes even when you are closer to one another, one says, no, this thing is simple, it doesn't require anything. The other one says, this thing must go, we must be thorough. When you investigate, one thing for sure, you need to be thorough. Can I make this proposal so that we can discuss at least a proposal on the floor? One, from what Honorable Mandela said, to ask the researchers to look at all issues that may be related to what the letter is raising and compile in comparison. Two, from the chair's point of view, I don't think all I remember to say no, you want it or we must lose it. That issue is more like it's done. To say, as a committee, having deliberated on this matter, we look on the nature, and we shouldn't assume that when we say you need 1, 2, 3, and I might be correct, you might be correct, or Mugungan. Sometimes it's difficult in a meeting to say so and so, because people think that you might be correct, we don't know. If you are going to investigate, you might need someone who is an evidence leader. You don't know whether that person can be external, whether that can be internal. To then say, looking at what is required from the committee feels that it's a cumbersome work. We would want to know what resources are being set or put aside for it to perform this duty, if it is performed. Thirdly, as a committee feels that if it is work that can be done, shouldn't it be considered that is done holistically instead of being done per committee? Although I don't know whether our mandate allows us to make an opinion on other things outside. And on top of that, that whether this is work that can be performed from a committee point of view with ultimate success. Then it doesn't change to say, what as a committee was grappling and we have every matter related, we have asked the researcher to compile this. On the other side, we would then be able to understand what would be the proper way, manner of doing it, and the terms of reference that will be followed. We will appreciate if the House Chair, through his office, can assist the committee in arriving at the appropriate method and the appropriate terms of reference that could be utilized in the event we are doing. Can't we deal with the issue in that manner? Then, amongst other things, then talk about the cost implications that goes with it, if it's done. Honorable Mandela?
Thank you, Chair. Well, now, first and foremost, support the line of thought in terms of how you would like us to proceed on this matter. But I also want the Honorable Chair to bring to your attention the fact that the Honorable Frolic, our House Chair, says in his letter numerous allegations in the media. You got print media, you got radio, you got television, you got Twitter, you got Instagram, you got social media, Honorable Chair. Which media is he alluding to? Can we be specific on the things that are sought out of this committee? I want us to be very clear, Chair. There's no media house that has made a submission to this.
committee, and there are no numerous allegations that have been brought to the attention of this committee. And hence it's premature to then begin speaking about an investigation when you don't have the proper referral on this matter. What is our mandate in terms of what is being communicated by the House Chair? And I want to put it to you, Honorable Chair, this letter is not sufficient to get us to do our work thoroughly. And it is my mere pleading, Honorable Chair, and appeal that as a committee we write back to the Honorable Chair, Honorable Luzipho, to clarify exactly what he seeks this committee to do before we burden our researchers. I'm still sitting with Dr. Nichols' attestment here, 100,000 emails. How do they fit in this envelope, Chair? Please, Chair, return these envelopes to the author, because it will be misleading us in terms of what is out there to think that 100,000 emails can fit in a mere A4 envelope. We have very competent and reliable researchers that we hold to high esteem in this committee. Never doubted and questioned their work. Should we need these emails to be printed, they are sufficient to do that work. I therefore do not want to cast aspersions on their competence, because I one day, Dr. Nicole, want to be regarded as a doctor myself. So yeah, a role model to some of us. And it cannot be then that, Honorable Chair, they are disregarded in that manner. I find it despicable the manner they've been treated today. Thank you.
Honorable Narima, then Honorable Mwale.
Mr. Chair, I want to start the point about the propriety of delivering these emails before the committee, and just point out the correspondence from Mr. Froelich was not circulated to us beforehand. The same way that these emails were not. They arrived effectively on the same day. I knew about it because I went and did my own research. First point. Our honourable guest gave us an interesting mediation on the issue of transparency in government and an attack on the media, which I must say is not something I haven't heard before, particularly when I was a journalist in the past days. I'd like to point out that there is a we're not suggesting that we have the force of a judicial inquiry. Parliamentary committees are set up to oversee it, and they do that in certain ways. We've been asked to do such an inquiry. I think we should pay serious attention to it. We're already 2 months behind since that inquiry was released. Honourable Mandela asks what we're investigating. Well, sir, what we're investigating, a lot of it is contained in the emails which I have provided for you. Now perhaps, sir, you don't have Mvezo, as you've explained, it's a small rural place. You don't have search function abilities on computers. And what I've managed to do for you is I've managed to perform a sophisticated search on the emails and taken out what I think is relevant.
You're not the author of this letter.
As far as your suggestion that these documents be returned to the author, you're running away, sir. Honourable Mandela, please.
I'm running away from you.
I think it's something you should hear. If we're to return these documents to the author, their names are Gupta, Native, and Saxonwald.
Both people want me to do that, Pat?
I thought you might be interested in my responding to the question that you
made. Can I do that?
I reject your insinuation, sir. They're unbecoming of you.
unbecoming of you when I go and take.
Can I tell my lady?
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chair, this talk of a holistic investigation is another interesting point. I mean, the logic is that if these allegations are out there and they're numerous and we've all seen them, that it does seem to make logical sense that there is a holistic investigation into them, which is precisely why the Democratic Alliance suggested an ad hoc parliamentary committee, a request that was rejected, and in preference to that, the House Chairperson suggested that four specific committees, which he named, one of them as ours, investigate these allegations. Now, I have to say, sir, that what I'm hearing here is spurious procedural delay. We've already missed 2 months. It looks like there's now going to be a request for more information. It amounts to delay, sir, into looking into these allegations. These are serious allegations. And I would suggest that this committee is once again, I'm afraid, overly deferential to the executive. Parliamentary committees are there to look over the executive, not to defer to them. Thank you, sir.
You see, if we're to follow the logic, Honourable, you know what, let me go back. You know what Honourable Mandela, the way you handled each other, Honourable Mandela. In fact, very much at the beginning of the meeting I was trying to manage. Because you now end up running a meeting not on the basis of what is supposed to be logical and flow, but on the basis of attitudes of men. Oh, that's why I made the appeal. Can we treat each other with all the ultimate respect, even if we feel people don't deserve it? But we'll end up deviating completely from what we are given as a task to perform. Two, you know, I'm tempted to change the proposal and then say, maybe we just agree, let's invite the minister and ask him questions if we want to ask him questions and then go and report to Parliament. If we say it's not supposed to be a scandal, then let's invite the minister to come to the committee. Ask him any questions that we want him to ask. Based on the answer of the minister, then let's go back and give the report to Honorable Frolic and then save the cost or any other thing. Because my approach was guided by the word that which I thought the letter of the House Chair was different because it's not saying can you engage your minister in your normal processes of the committee. So can we then leave that and say we will then look at the minister and request the minister to come to the committee so that we can be able to deal with the issue. Subsequent to that we will then decide what to do, because the point I was trying to say to me was that compliance with the letter would have meant that you look beyond what you are supposed to. Our oversight is on the department and the minister. But if you conduct it in the manner, this is how I looked at it, if you look at what it says, it then suggests that you have to go beyond what you normally do in your committee work. You see? So can we make it easy, Honorable Member?
Yeah.
We will request the minister to come to the committee. Honorable members will be able to ask any questions that they want to ask, and then subsequent to that, we will take a decision and what to report to the minister.
To
the House Chair.
No.
Right. Honorable Lauren? Yes, continue.
Can I say?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it's important to look at the contents of the letter. It says, let me just look at this. I'm sure that you are aware of numerous allegations of state capture that have appeared in the media in recent weeks. Some of these allegations involve the Minister of Mineral Resources. And then it says, I would like to request that you commence investigate the allegations in the parameters of the rules. So, in terms of logic and in terms of procedure, one can't start off with a minister and say, Minister, what do you know? If you don't have anything to put in,
then I'm a minister.
So what you need to do is to investigate the matter, to interrogate the emails, to interrogate whatever flows from it, whatever documents are available, whichever individual needs to come and testify before the committee, and then to ask the minister what his reply is there to. Doing it the other way around means you're going to call someone and say, listen, I hear there's an allegation of you, I refuse it, and therefore you can go home.
That seems to be on the face of it what you're now trying to suggest. So somewhere in this process, you need to have more than just the minister appearing before the committee.
Honourable Smith, before you finish, can you tell me what was the summary that I was given? Because what you are actually saying is exactly what I was given as a summary and was being rejected. Then I put it interesting because your colleague, Honourable Norema, said, we are making a big thing, such a difficult thing, and therefore, so my intervention comes on the basis that we are now doing oversight over the executive,
yes,
which we have got a duty on. Then I'm saying, invite the minister, let's engage the minister. And then based on that, we then report to Honorable Frolic and say, this is what the response from the minister was given. And on the basis of that, if he says, no, you must dig further, because precisely those terms of reference were going to help in what you are talking about. Identify the very same people that could be able to give testimony contrary to what the minister is doing. Now, when I made the summary, remember, although when I said the summary, can in the meantime, so that we speed up the process, ask the researcher to look on issues that might be relevant to the committee and be able to combine in order to help the work of the committee. In the meantime, two, we must then say on this discussion that we are having, we look on the extent, that's why I said there is an agreement only on one thing. Maybe you don't understand. There is an agreement that there has to be an investigation. The issue, for instance, that was raised by Honorable Mpumla, is the extent of what will that be in terms of the cumbersomeness of the work that you would require to do. Whether are there the necessary resources that can go to that extent. Honorable Lerima comes in and says, no, we are not saying it must be as cumbersome as a judicial commission of inquiry, but it must be able to extract as much work as possible. So on the question of an investigation, there's tacitly an agreement, but it says, make the House chair to understand what could be the implications of that. And then it says, can he guide us on what are the key areas that will be directed to focus on, so that in Zulu that is in Angani. So we go and perform in that area. That issue, when you come in, members, then hit that flag, I then said, okay, maybe the easiest route then that we must consider, because there is a way that continues to go, and I'm listening to you, but I'm deliberately ignoring it, to say it was preconceived what we were going to say. Now, I'm changing in your meeting. I'm saying, let's make it easy then. Find the minister, invite the minister to the committee. Let's allow you, as members, to do your job as members of the committee. Ask the minister, and the minister must answer you all the questions you want to ask him. Because he's the only person currently that, because even in the letter it says it involves your minister of mineral resources. So the only name in that letter that is mentioned is that of the minister. So I'm now saying, let's leave everything. Let's just call the minister. I don't know where we will start when the minister says, minister, can you answer the media? I don't know. I'm not going to control you. I will just bring the minister. You will then be able to ask questions to the minister, and we leave the matter. We will deal with other issues. I don't want to preempt and say, when the minister, you see, I think it's a very dangerous assumption to make, to say when the minister has asked the question, then you will go and scot-free. Our intention is to do our work, is not to punish any individual, because that could be preconceived on its own. When the minister has answered and everything is done, the committee will come on it to its own decision. What next? But that decision, amongst other things, must then be referred to the House Chair, who wrote the letter to us.
Mr. Chair, I was just busy speaking whilst you were now interrupting. You gave a long speech, and I was still busy too.
Don't deal with me. Deal with the issue. I've got the duty as a chairperson to guide the meeting.
But Mr. Chair,
except if you don't want to be guided.
Mr. Chair, I was busy addressing the committee. You interrupted me, gave a long speech. That's in fact what happened. So, you know, am I allowed to say something without you interrupting me, or am I allowed to say something without you discussing something with Mr.
Chairman? Continue with what we're saying, because I was saying, as you speak, you must relate to what I've raised before, because you seem to be going now outside what you objected before. Now, if you say our wins, our relating the long speech,
That's your own opinion. Let's not discuss what I said. You see this thing that you are doing. You can do it if you like to come and ridicule an individual simply because the logic of argument is beyond your comprehension. So don't do that.
I'm not given the chance to say my continue. I gave you enough. Continue. What Mr. Lorimer said, cannot a parliamentary investigation by a portfolio committee can never be equated to a judicial inquiry. It's impossible. Cost in terms of cost, in terms of procedure, in terms of standing, in terms of consequences, in terms of many other things. So that is quite right, you can't equate the two. But what this committee can do and should do is investigate all the facts, whether it's by media, whether it's by letter, whether it's by someone volunteering saying, I would like to come and testify because I know something about something. All these issues should be placed before the committee unreservedly. Have a look at the veracity thereof. Interrogate whoever we need to interrogate.
Yes.
Then call in the minister and say, these involve you. But if I'm going to say, Mr. Minister, there's an allegation that you flew on a plane to Dubai. He's going to say, on what basis? And I'm going to say, well, in terms of this email I've got. Now, if I first had the opportunity of saying to a witness, do you know about this flight? Yes. Is it true that the minister lives on certain channel? At least I can tell him in terms of what this individual told me, or in terms of what the email told me. And he then, if he then comes with a lawyer, I'd be very surprised, but I'd be very shocked. In which case he does have before a judicial inquiry, but not in terms of what I would suppose the process in front of the portfolio committee should be. So it's a different process with different rules, with different consequences, which need to be done so that your minister can say, or the minister can say, I've gone through an investigation, all these allegations are untrue, or they're true, or I still need to rebut some of these allegations, or I will give you a further document to reply to some of these statements. But you cannot start off with the minister when it says it involves the Minister of Mineral Resources. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I was going to ask, then what was the objection on my initial summary? Because the issue now that we're debating is a withdrawal of my initial summary, which was looking at what Honorable Schmidt is talking. But it's fine. Honorable Mandela, Honorable Bumlana, and Honorable Moon.
Honorable Chair, we have other matters on the agenda, and time seems to be slipping away. But might as well put this one on record, Chair. It never has it been that we have to ask for permission to go to the bathroom from any member or even from an Honorable Chair of a portfolio committee. If they are self-appointed bosses here that want us to ask for permission from them to go to the bathroom, I'd like that to be attended to, because I can't be subjected to that as a member. And again, I want to put on record, no Mandela runs away from any matter. We deal with the matters head on and very sober on the issues. Therefore, I want to raise my two motions on this, Chair, that we request the Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Frolic, to clarify, Honorable Chair, in terms of the references that he's giving to the committee. As I say, he's speaking about numerous allegations. I would like to contextualize those numerous allegations.
I'm going to do 12.
I would like to contextualize that so that we are very clear as a committee what are these allegations
Maybe the Honorable Chair, by writing this letter, is praising of this. Then he can make a submission to the committee that these are the allegations I would like you to deal with. And again, he uses media loosely. And I said media is very broad on the future. From print media, social media, radio, television, it's very broad. It needs to be very specific about what media allegation is he talking to. But also, if we are not to follow that route as per the letter, because what brought us to initially speak on these matters is a letter that has been brought to our attention through the House Chairperson, Honorable Frolic. If we are moving away from that letter, Honorable Chair, the only other person now identified in the letter is the Honorable Minister of Mineral Resources, whom as a committee we have the powers to hold accountable. And it is within our right as a portfolio committee to call the minister to a portfolio committee meeting and ask the questions that some members are privy to. They will be able to ask the questions to the minister. We therefore write back to the House Chair to say that we've engaged with the minister in terms of what is out there in the media, and we have exhausted the matters. And this is the report that, as a committee, we have out of the engagement with the minister. I'd like to propose those two routes, Honorable Chair, through you, and we decide on the matter so we can move on to other business of the portfolio committee. Thank you.
Honorable Loren.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I think there's a belief that the committee should be applying its mind to what needs to be investigated, because there hasn't been any specific terms of reference. I think it's understood that we as a committee have the ability to realize what's at stake and to investigate. As to the form of the investigation, I think we've already been provided with the model in terms of various ad hoc committees of parliament investigating various subjects. And I think, and I'd like to propose, that that is the model that we follow. And all we need to do now is write to the House Chairperson and say, this is the model we're proposing to follow, this is the budget we will need, and get to it with, as quickly as possible.
Okay, can we do it like this? I like it, even under difficult conditions, remain cool. Okay. Can we do it like this? Let me just say this, Honorable Lori. I'm not sure. I will go and check and then come back to the committee. I'm not sure whether they use a common format in those ad hoc committees. Let me give you an example. Let's just be honest. Home Affairs, which was the first one to attend to this thing, they invited the minister. And the minister did not, we all know the story, the minister did not pitch up and the teaching and so forth. Just giving you an example. Now, I just tried to suggest that similar process. And other members seem to have an issue with that process. Because only after that process, then the committees could formulate an approach on how they will handle the matter. That's why I was suggesting that issue. So I don't want to agree here that there is this format. Other committees, it was straightforward, I'll be honest. For instance, to some degree, I don't know now, public enterprise, it was this forward because it was pointing at ESCOM. You understand? So it may not be the same here, because here there is no CGS, there is no MINTEC, there is no entity. It's just the general thing. Can I suggest the following, so that we close the net? That one, and this is why I was trying to say to members, it's not that when you are done with the minister, it's finished. I want to suggest two processes, so that we close the matter now once and for all. One, let's first is to engage the minister. Invite the minister. How we handle it, I think we can to say, is there any issue on what to, because that's what we want to share with the committee. If it doesn't have, we can ask the questions we want to ask, but we must share that with the House Chair in response. But the alternative one is to go to the House Chair and say, based on the letter that the committee, which there's only one thing that I like in a meeting. No, you debated. That is good. Don't think that you debated, and at least you're listening to each other, even if you're debating to go to the toilet, you know, to the fact of the matter, that was a debate on its own. So you were even prepared to debate each other's relief. So, can you agree on this, honorable member? So that I know sometimes when you handle things, you can debate the pace. Sometimes the problem with the pace, it can be fast but not that. Sometimes the place can be slow, but at the same time not go nowhere. We have to find a way to manage these two contradictions. Now we write back to the House Chair and say, as a committee, we have deliberated on this matter. We understand the seriousness and the urgency that he has made reference to, but would want now his assistance, please, to say, what could be the areas that you would want to suggest for this committee to specifically look on in performing its thorough work, specifically in relation to the terms of reference, to assist? One. Two, to what extent must this investigation go to? I don't want to preempt, because now we'll have another discussion on the issue. There could be issues that might be beyond, like the point you're talking about, honorable. There could be issues that are in court, for instance. Can we make reference on those things? Allow us to go to that extent. I'm just making an example. We don't know now to say, to what extent must this investigation go? Obviously, we know it must be done, but to what extent? Other things that were raised by Obabumpumla, that's why I said the two of you, even the two lawyers, they don't disagree. You, Honorable Smith, has said now, you might need people who would come and be witnesses and investigate. That issue could mean a simple thing. You then, as a committee, like when you do your public hearing, call on everyone who has got evidence. I'm just saying, call on everyone. Therefore, it becomes an open. That's why I'm saying, when you do so, it could actually mean it has got some implication. So we then say, to what extent with the investigation should go? What are they available? Are they sufficient and necessary resources made available, both financially and personnel, so that you can deal with the requirement of expertise, if there are expertise that are needed? Because it doesn't help, when I remember, that's why I was suggesting a shorter route, which will not help this thing. It doesn't help to want to go on another route and then only want to be told at the end of the day there's no money. That's the issue. So will that be able to be supported financially with the demand that it would put? So that we know then that we'll be working on costing the budget of that exercise if it's going to take place. Then we say, what should be the format? We can suggest the format that you said, you call witnesses, interrogate, you might need an evidence leader, you might need expertise on certain fields. You must understand some of these people, if you get people with expertise, I'm making a generous, dangerous assumption. Someone who might be an expert on technology, emails, and so forth, that person might need to be flown. If that person is found in London, it means that person must come from London and be brought here. I'm making an example. So that issue, we raise that thing. Then, The other consideration is that we engaged, I've made that one, on what to do. Can we take that, then when we refer back to the House Chair? There is a simpler one, which we must report to him. There is another one that it will require him to then confirm the availability of resources, amongst other issues. Honourable Madam, I'm saying we'll refer both of them to him, those options.
Sir?
Yes.
A very simple matter. As an author of a letter, which is Honourable Frolic, the House Chair, can write back to him in terms of the terms of reference for what he seeks us to do. And as outlined, these are the issues that we will need to consider as you've articulated that. And I would like us to therefore move for that. If it's supported, then we support that and we request that the portfolio committee through you writes back to the House Chair. But if you want to proceed on this matter, the only other person referred to here is the Minister of Mineral Resources. He is within our reach, Honourable Chair. We can write to the Minister and request him to be in the Portfolio Committee and be able to have an open question day so that we ask the questions that are necessary. Hence, this is why I moved for the two motions, and we are able to decide on the matter, which route we take, to bring in the minister, or do we write back to the House Chair for clear terms of reference on this matter.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
You must make a you are making a concrete proposal that you must invite the minister to come and count in front of this committee.
That is our work, Chair. Thank you.
Honourable Lorin.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'd like to propose that I don't think that would be sufficient. And when I talk about precedents, I think we should look at other ad hoc parliamentary committee investigations into, for example, the SABC or the Protection Information Law. I think those should be our models. If you feel that you need to write to the chairman to ask what resources are available, I understand that at some stage that is a discussion that needs to be held. I think it's putting the cart before the horse, in a sense. I think that we should actually say what we want and then get him to comment on that. You're the chair, you're the majority, so I will go with that. But I do not think it would be sufficient simply to get the minister along to comment on these allegations.
I think, Chairperson,
I need a superintendent here.
No.
Oh.
I want to say what he is saying is what you are suggesting. That you're going to send this to the superintendent. I don't think that, for example, if you call somebody here, you need to have prepared what questions you're going to ask and you have agreed on. The parameter. Any question, remember, we're here. This is a public thing. When we talk to this minister, the whole world is told. So I think that that proposal we have got. Do we?
Hello, beginning.
I wish to support the proposal made by the chair before. Mm-hmm. First one, the chair.
Okay.
In the last summer.
Thank you very much. We will follow that procedure. We will come back and brief the committee on the development. I'm tempted, but it's okay. Then we will do it with the minutes. Oh, no, wait, I forgot something. Wait a minute. No, this one, Honourable Members, I forgot. I can see you were ready. I forgot the Chamber of Mine. I'm not sure how to handle that, but in some, I don't know whether members want me to read that letter. It's almost 1.5 page. There is a letter from the Chamber of Mines. The letter, unfortunately, it was before. Dear Honorable Lozipo, Department of Mineral Resources reviewed mining charter. I trust that this finds you well. There has been a great deal of media coverage since the release of the DMR Report Mining Charter on 15 June 2017. Some of this coverage relates to the actions that the Chamber of Mines intends to take in respect of the reviewed mining charter. The purpose of this letter is to put the actions into context and to come to you, to convey to you the reasons why the Chamber is compelled to seek legal redress, both in terms of approaching the Deputy Judge, President of the High Court, to have a date set down for a declaratory order on the continuing consequences issues, and also approaching the courts for an interdict to suspend the implementation of the charter and to take it on review. Let me say categorically that the Chamber of Mines and its members are in full support of transformation in the mining industry, and indeed progress has been made on this front, though there is still much work to be done. We see proper transformation as a national imperative. The value of the empowerment transaction since 2000 amounts to over 205 billion in 2014 money terms. The value of the meaningful economic value transfer between 2000 in 2014 amounts to 159 billion. Currently, more than 50% of the management positions are occupied by historical disadvantaged South Africans. The decision to go to the legal route has not been taken lightly, but we truly believe that there is no other avenue open to us and is beholden on us to do all we can to protect the mining industry and also the South African economy, which is already in a technical recession and is vulnerable to further shocks as the response by the markets, to the release of the DMR's mining charter clearly demonstrates. The Chamber of Mines holds the view that the DMR's mining charter has been unilaterally developed and imposed on the industry. Unlike previous charters, where stakeholders in the sector worked together to produce a stakeholder agreed charter, the DMR chose from the outset to produce and publish its own draft in April 2016 without engaging the industry in its conception or even in structures such as the tripartite industry growth, development and employment task team that is MIPDEC. The industry is committed to transformation and would have been happy to negotiate with government and other stakeholders on the new terms and targets for the periods ahead. But it cannot accept the imposition of a mining charter on which there was no thorough process of engagement and which contains unworkable targets and unnecessary institutions that are not founded in reality, such as the Mining Transformation Development Agency. There was never a proper opportunity for all the key mining stakeholders to engage in a thorough negotiation where all ideas would be considered. Instead, the DMR met with select stakeholders and interested parties, cherry-picked ideas, and ended up with a wish list of issues which the trade chamber and its members will have to implement. I must also point out that prior to its publication in the Government Gazette on 15 June 2017, the chamber and its members had not had sight of the actual reviewed mining charter since the April draft was published in 2016. There are a number of issues in the 2017 reviewed mining charter that the chamber had not seen before. The chamber and its members are committed to being part of a process that arrives at an outcome that is aimed at simultaneously transforming, growing, and sustaining the mining industry. The only way that we can defend our industry and achieve such outcome is through the courts. I hope that this clarifies the actions that are being taken by the chamber and the reasons for the route that is being followed. Yours sincerely, Nkosi Mkhotso, President, Chamber of Mines. Since then, the matter is now in court. Honorable Mpumlana, Honorable Mandela.
Good news, eh? That's all we have. Because I don't, you say it's in court,
yes.
And so we can't say anything. Anyway, he's just telling us that he's opposing, he's how he's going to say in court. I agree, I think my letter stands with approved. We don't have to court. No
test. Honorable Mandela.
No, Chair, mine is just to applaud that you read very well. Thank you.
Okay. I had to read it because it's a stakeholder that is informing us about the legal action that they have taken. I think this is right. Unfortunately, that's what they were just informing us. I'm tempted to say, can we leave the minutes and do them next time combined? Do you agree? The minute. Thank you very much. We are all released.
Yeah.